تیار کردہ علمی کیسٹ گھر کیسٹ اور سی ڈی ملنے کا پتہ نوٹ فرما لیں. علمی کیسٹ گھر دکان نمبر 5 فاطمہ پلازا بالمقابل مدنی مسجد پڈلبی ایریا کراچی. فون نمبر 6370813.
اسپیشلی لوگ کے ساتھ اسٹارٹنگ الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا وسندنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون. آمنت بالله صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. My brothers and sisters, I have just recited a verse of the Holy Quran in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I have not created the jinn and the human beings except that they should worship me. This is the translation, literal translation of the holy verse, and actually the word used in the Holy Quran is that I have created the jinn and the human beings for the purpose that they should make ibadah of me. They should make my ibadah. But the difficulty is that the term ibadah, as used in the Holy Quran, we have no actual word to translate its full meaning in English or in Urdu. So we have no other word than worship. So we translate the holy word in the sense that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the mankind for his worship. But actually there is a major difference between worship and ibadah as used in the Holy Quran and in the Sunnah of the Holy Prophet. When we use the word worship in English, it indicates to certain formal rituals offered for the sake of Allah. So it comprises only some ritual. But when the word ibadah is used in the Holy Quran or in the Sunnah of the Holy Prophet ﷺ, it has a wider meaning. It is not restricted to the ritual, but it indicates to a state of one state of mind or state of heart in which one submits to another one in devotion totally, that he becomes his obedient, becomes his subject, becomes his servant, becomes his obedient and obeys his command and submits to his command in all spheres of life. So the term of ibadah carries a wider sense than the word of worship in English. But insofar as we have no other alternative to translate, we translate the word by the word worship and say that the word says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the mankind for worshipping Him. This word has given us the main objective of the life of a human being, of the life of a Muslim who believes in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It says that a man has not come in this world for only earning his livelihood or for just eating and drinking. He has come in this world for worshipping Allah or for being submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the main objective for which a man has come in this world. In order to grasp the subject, we should on ourselves think that what is the main purpose of the life of a human being? Why he has come to this world? If the main purpose of his life is only to earn his livelihood, to eat, to drink, to sleep, to have a better standard of life, then what is the difference between him and other animals? The other animals, like dogs, cats, horses, every animal has the same object. He has no objective of his life, except to eat and drink and sleep and nothing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them food, has given them wearing, and some animals are such that their skins are so attractive that a man is proud of wearing the skin of that animal. So some of the animals have food better than we have. Some animals have better clothes, wearing than we have. So if the objective of our life is only to eat and drink and to wear and to sleep, then there remains no difference between animals and human beings. And as all of you know, that the whole universe created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been made to serve the human being. This sun, this moon, this cloud, this rain, this river, the sea, all the things found in this universe are created in order to serve man. This sun rises and sends its rays in order to give us light in the daytime. Not only this, when we eat a piece of bread, we eat it only in a moment. But we seldom think that this piece of bread has come to us through a long process under which various forces of this universe have been working for bringing this piece of bread to our mouth. This piece of bread, if it is made of wheat, then you can imagine that how a seed was sown in the earth, how it raised in the shape of a plant, and then the sun used his rays in order to nourish it. Allah Taala sent a cloud to rain over it, to irrigate it by rain. The wind was blown by Allah Taala in order to nourish that plant. Then, after a long time, the plant has become grown some wheat. Then, in order to bring that wheat to your home, there are certain forces which have been working for that purpose. So this one piece of bread actually came to our mouth after a long process under which all these forces of the universe have been working by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this human being Ashraful Mamluka, that is the best of the creation. That is the best of the creation, the most noble creation on the earth. Why? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given a human being such force or strength that he makes the animals submit to him. Every small child of a man rides over the horse and brings the horse at what place he wishes. The horse never turns to the child or to the man, saying that, why should I turn you? I have more strength, I am bigger than you. So, you should turn me. Why should I turn you? No horse has ever questioned a man like this. So Allah Ta'ala has made all the forces of this universe submitted to the human being and has given the man wisdom, reason. By the virtue of that wisdom and reason, he has been able to capture all these forces and to make all these forces into his service. So why all this universe is serving a man? If there is no difference between a man and an animal in the basic objective of life, basic purpose of life, the man has also the same as objective that he should eat and drink and sleep, and the animal has the same as objective, then what is the reason that all these forces of the universe have been made into service of human beings? There is no other purpose that all the universe has been made to serve man, and man has been made to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the main object. And you cannot find any other objective of the life of a human being except this. In order that the man has been made to serve Allah, to serve Allah in the sense that he must be subject to Allah's command, and is totally subjected to Allah's will. For that purpose, the whole universe has been given in service to Allah. That is why one Rumi says, "Agar baato bahu kuchhi to phala sarkar, taako naane ba ka pari yo ba ghaflat na ho." He says that all these forces of universe, these clouds, these winds, this moon, and this sky, are in your service only because you may bring a piece of bread in your hand. But you should not eat that piece of bread in negligence. You should eat that piece of bread while remembering that this piece of bread has been given to me, provided to me by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the whole universe has been working for giving it to me. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this holy verse says that I have created the jinn and the human beings only that they may worship me, may be submitted to me. So when the main purpose of our life and main objective of our life is to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's will and his commands, and to then we should think what amount of time we are spending to serve the main objective of our life. How much time we are devoting for this main objective of our life, and how much time we are devoting for those objectives in which we are common with other animals. So if we think on these lines, we find that our main effort through the day long are devoted for earning livelihood, for making our life more pleasant, and we earn more money, earn better food, and all these, in all these things. But seldom we think that we are subject to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and our main objective of life is something over and above this eating and drinking. So in order to create this objective in our life, in another word, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. He tells us how to bring our life in line with the main objective of life. He says, oh, those who believe, and those who have believed in me, and those who believe in the fact that they have been created for worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh, those who believe, ittaqullah, have taqwa of Allah in your heart. Have taqwa of Allah in your heart. The dark taqwa, although listened by all the Muslims all the time, but very few people realize its true meaning. What is taqwa? When you open it in an Arabic dictionary, you will find that the taqwa has been interpreted and translated by the word fear. And sometimes the word ittaqullah is translated as fear, have the fear of Allah. But once again I will say that these words do not convey the exact meaning of the word taqwa. Although the word taqwa means fear, taqwallah means fear of Allah. But one should remember that the fear is of different kinds. The fear is of different kinds. There may be a fear of some very horrible thing, some injurious thing, some enemy. There one may fear snake, one may fear wolf, one may fear lion, one may fear the beast. But the word taqwa is not does not carry the meaning of that fear which we have against these beasts, snakes, and other animals. The word taqwa means a fear which is created in one's heart out of love and respect to another one. There is a totally different kind of fear which comes in one's heart out of love and respect to another authority. Just like a thief has respect to his father, has love towards his father, and out of this love and respect, he sometimes fears him. Not because he fears that he will punish him, he will beat him, but on account of the respect he has towards his father. He feels it very awkward that his father finds him in an act which does not please him. So even if the father does not punish him, does not beat him, even then, the son fears be aware of my this bad act. This is the fear which is meant by the word taqwa. So Allah Taala says that have taqwa of Allah in your heart. So firstly, there should be love with Allah. Secondly, there should be respect to Allah. Thirdly, there should be total submission to Allah. And if one has love and respect for Allah, it logically follows from that respect and love that he fears him. He will not like that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he commits an act which is not according to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the meaning of the word taqwa. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that you, in order to reach the true objective of your life, you must have taqwa in your heart. Unless you have taqwa, unless you have love with Allah, unless you have respect for Allah, you cannot truly worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the worship comes out of taqwa. Taqwa comes out of respect and love. Then the question arises, how to create this respect and love? How to create taqwa in our heart? So the other sentence in the Holy Bible is to answer this question. How to create or nourish taqwa in one's heart? Like Allah Ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqullah, O those who believe, have taqwa in your heart. How to have taqwa? How to acquire taqwa? The other sentence is answer to this question. That is, وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّابِتِينَ. That the way of acquiring taqwa is that one should seek company of those righteous, the righteous people. Easiest way to acquire taqwa is to have company of the righteous people. It means that the people who have already taqwa in their heart, if you seek their company, if you remain in their company, you spend your days and nights in their company, then the taqwa will automatically will be transferred to your heart. The respect for Allah, the love for Allah will automatically transfer to your heart. So the correct way of following the Islamic injunction has always been that the Muslims have been directed, have been instructed to follow a person who is perfect in taqwa. That is why when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down a book, a divine book like the Holy Quran, he always raised with the book, raised a messenger, a prophet. Otherwise there was no need of a prophet. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have sent down a book without a prophet. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always sent down a book with a prophet and ordered the Muslims to obey and follow that prophet. That prophet comes, that is one of the righteous. And the Muslims have been ordered to have the company of that prophet, to see his merit, to see his life, to learn practical ways of life from his life, from his example. So the life of the prophet, to have the company of the prophet, this was the easiest way to reach the Islamic way of life. So all the Sahaba were ordered to have the company of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You mean what the word Sahabi means? Sahabi?
Right.
Sahabi actually, Sahabi is a person who has seen the Holy Prophet in the state of Islam. But the literal meaning of Sahabi is the person who has the company of the Holy Prophet, who has been in the company of the Holy Prophet. So Sahabi, actually the word is extracted from the word Sumba, that means company. So Sahabi becomes out of Sumba. Muhammad Ismail Shaheed rahmatullahi alayh, he says that you will find in that in this word, when we refer to a learned person, to an alim, we sometimes refer to him with certain alqab. I don't know what you call it, alqab.
Status.
Like allama, alim, mufti, hafiz, qari, muhaddith, mufassir, imam Abu Hanifa, imam Shafi'i, allama Jaladuddin Suyuti, allama Ibn Hajar, mufti fulan, allama fulan. So we always refer to him with his title, with this title. But have you ever heard of a sahabi who has been referred to with this title? Nobody has ever said Imam Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Nobody has ever said Allama Umar ibn Khattab. Nobody has ever said Mufti Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala. So all these sahaba are never referred to by these titles which have been devoted to the ulama of the later ages. But Muhammad Ismail Shaheed rahimahullah says that the basic reason for this is that when we said about a person that he is Sahaba, when we said radiallahu anhu, and radiallahu anhu means that the person referred to is a Sahabi. So when we said that the person is Sahabi, then it means that we have attributed all the attributes to him. Because once a person is Sahabi, he is Alim. He is Mujahid, he is Mufassir, he is Muhaddith, he is Allah. So he needs not reference to these titles, these artificial titles. He says that if a woman has a beautiful face, she needs no makeup. So he says, that the Sahabi has his own quality. And when we say that this person is Sahabi, then he needs no title at all. We are attributing all the good attributes to him. So this status of Sahabi came from where came this status of a Sahabi? From the Zuhba of the Holy Prophet. So the Sahaba had acquired this status out of the company of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then come to the next generation. The next generation is called Tabi'in. Tabi'in means follower. Followers of whom? Followers of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala. So Sahaba acquired knowledge, acquired the ways of life from the company of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Sahaba transferred what they learned from the Holy Prophet to the Tabi'in. So Tabi'in acquired the second status of the Sahaba, after Sahaba. By virtue of what? By virtue of their company with the Sahaba of the Allah. Then comes the third generation, which is called Tabi'in. So it means Tabi'in, followers of the followers. That means followers of the Sahaba. So they become Tabi'in out of the company of the Sahaba. So the deen has come to us through two chairs. One chair is the book of Allah. The second is the men of Allah, Rijal Allah, Kitab Allah and Rijal. So, the easiest way to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to obey the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to have the company of the righteous, as mentioned in this holy verse. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqullaha wa qulu qawlan sadida. Have taqwa in your heart. How can I acquire taqwa? By the company of the righteous. Who are the righteous? As-sadiqeen. Who are the righteous? It is mentioned in the surah of Al-Baqarah. ليس البر أن تولوا وجوهكم قبل المشرق والمغرب ولكن البر من آمن بالله واليوم الآخر والكتاب والنبيين وآتى المال على حبه ذوي القربى واليتامى والمساكين وابن السبيل والسائلين وصدقا وأقاموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة والمنفون بعهدهم إذا عاهدوا والصابرين في البأساء والضراء وحين البأس أولئك الذين صدقوا وأولئك هم المتقون. The number of virtuous acts have been listed in this ayah. What is the best? What is the virtuous deed? Al-Imanu Billah, believing in Allah, believing in the hereafter, believing in the prophets of Allah, and to give one's best in charity, and to be steadfast in prayer, to give zakah, to walmufuna bi'ahdihim idha ahadu, to fulfill one's contract and agreement, and wasabirina fil ba'sa'i wadh-dharra, and to be patient in all circumstances. After listing these virtuous deeds, Allah SWT said, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا. They are the persons who are the righteous. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُتَّقُونَ. And they are the persons who have taqwa. So, the sirk, the word sirk, and which sometimes is translated by the word truth, is not the truth of self only. It comprises all these aspects. So, the easiest way to acquire taqwa is to have the company of the righteous, of the company of those persons who have these qualities which have been mentioned in the Surah Al-Baqarah. It is evident that when a person has the company of such righteous people, he gradually he gradually learns that those virtues leave from him, and the taqwa is gradually transferred to his heart. That is the only way. You have often heard of the word of tasawwuf and piri muridi and shaykh and pupil. What is the piri muridi? What is the tasawwuf? Actually, it derives from this one. يَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. That the word tasawwuf has been distorted and has been interpreted in various ways which are totally against the injunctions of the Holy Quran and Sunnah. The piri muridi also has been made a target of invention and heresy. But the actual purpose of this piri muridi or of this tasawwuf was that a person turns to a person, to another person, whom he believes to be more righteous than him, and turns to him in order to acquire knowledge, in order that he may train him in the ways, Islamic ways of life. This is the only purpose of piri muridi. Now, the piri muridi now has been adopted, and certain kinds of bid'ah have been involved in that piri muridi. But the actual purpose was this, that one cannot have the correct way of correct Islamic way of life unless he acquires the company of a righteous person whom he believes to be more knowledgeable than him, whom he believes to be more righteous than him, more pious than him. In this manner, just like the Sahaba have acquired taqwa from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Tabi'in have acquired taqwa from the Tabi'in, Sahaba, and the Tabi'in have acquired from the Tabi'in. In the like manner, this process has been going on up to our time. And the only easiest way is to have the taqwa of some righteous person. Now, sometimes the question arises that how we should find such righteous person whose company will create taqwa in our heart. Because some people say that wherever we go, we find that there are persons who deceive others, who are not knowledgeable, not pious, but they are just making this period muridi like a trade, earning money through it, with that they have made it a business. So how we find the righteous person towards the truth? to ask for our training. Firstly, you have heard the name of Imam Fakhruddin Razi, rahimahullah, a great philosopher and great scientist of the 6th century of Hijra, Imam Fakhruddin Razi, rahimahullah. He has written in his Tafsir, of Tafsir al-Kabir, under this ayah, under this book, under this verse of the Holy Quran, that when Holy Quran says, O those who believe, have taqwa of Allah in your heart, and acquire the company of the righteous. It gives us a good news that the righteous will remain up to the time of Qiyamah. The world shall not be empty of these righteous up to the time of Qiyamah. Because when Allah says, have the company of the righteous, this is not a command for the days of Sahaba only. The Quran is a guidance for all times to come, up to the Yawm Qiyamah. So when the Holy Quran says, have the company of the righteous, it means that the righteous will remain alive, will remain up to the Yawm Qiyamah. Because if there were no righteous, then to act on this holy word will be impossible. And it cannot be imagined that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders us to a thing which we cannot act upon. So the holy word at the same time gives us the good news that the righteous persons will remain up to the Yawm Qiyamah. But the question is how to find them. How to find them out. My father, Hazrat Mufti Muhammad Shafi, rahimahullah ta'ala, the author of the Ma'arif al-Quran, used to say that the first error in this respect is that when we try to find out the righteous person whose company will benefit us and whose company gives us taqwa, then we measure that righteous person to the level of Junayd al-Baghdadi and to the person of our history who has passed, like Junayd al-Baghdadi, Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani and other righteous persons of our history. We believe that our guide should be as Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani was, as far as Junayd al-Baghdadi was. But it is not true. It is not the right way. Because you should see such a righteous person who can guide you. He may not be at the level of Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani. He may not be at the level of Junayd al-Baghdadi. But he can be sufficient to guide you, to give you guidance, to give you taqwa. So you should not measure the righteous person of your age with the scale of Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani. This is the first thing. The second thing is that you know that there are many persons deceiving in certain fields of life. Especially in our country, there are persons who sell the wheat, but they mix some other things with it. They are selling oil and they mix some other things with it. So there are certain ways of deceiving. But nobody has ever said that these things should be avoided now. Every person tries his best to find out the correct thing, the cleaner and pure thing. So if you try to find out a pure person, a pure righteous person, such a person as can direct you, can instruct you, can guide you, then you will find. So the easiest way is to find out a man whom you believe to the best of your knowledge that he is more knowledgeable, more wise, more righteous, and seek guidance from him in all of affairs of your life. As all of you know that Islam has given us guidance not only in ibadah, in worship, but also in our business, and also in our trade, also in our politics, also in our economy. And but still, it is not a difficult religion. Islam has given us some directions which we can easily follow. If Allah has given us also the way of mending ourselves, so if you turn to a pious person or to a righteous person in order to seek guidance from him, you will acquire taqwa inshallah gradually, and it will create the love and respect of Allah, which is the prerequisite for taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The actual way, the real way and original way for this purpose is to have the company of that righteous person. There should be physical presence with him. But if that person is not available, such a person is not available physically, the other way is to have correspondence with him, to seek his guidance through correspondence. And Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahimahullah ta'ala has given us certain principles on which this correspondence may be useful. So everybody should first try to find out such a guy and to follow him and to seek guidance from him in all affairs of his life. He sometimes tells you some very easy ways to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to nourish the love and the respect for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, we all used to eat, but he tells us that if you eat your meal with the niyyah, with the intention that this eating meal is a right of your own, on your own self. It's a right of your nafs, on your own self. And you eat meal in order to acquire strength, so that you may be able to offer your duties towards Allah and towards man. So when you eat the meal with these intentions, the eating meal becomes the ibadah, becomes worthy. There is reward. If you sleep, you go on bed and sleep, and your niyyah, your intention is that out of this sleep you will acquire freshness, and after being fresh you will be more able to perform your duties towards Allah and towards men. Then your sleeping is also an ibadah. When you go to your wife and to your children with the intention that this wife and children have been given to me and I have certain obligations towards them, when you go to them with this intention that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made me under an obligation to have given me certain obligations towards them, I want to perform and fulfill those obligations, then going to wife and children, this is also becomes ibadah. So actually the whole life of a Muslim can be ibadah, can be worship. No matter that they seem to be mundane acts, worldly affairs, but out of this good intention, one's life is converted to ibadah. So a person to whom you turn for guidance will tell you how to convert your life into an ibadah without any additional effort, without any additional endeavor. You can convert your life into ibadah. So my humble submission is that all of us should find out a righteous person whom we believe to be more knowledgeable and more pious and more righteous, and we should turn to him for seeking guidance, and we will try to have his company, and that is the easiest way to acquire taqwa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may give us tawfiq to have taqwa in our heart, and may provide us such righteous persons who may guide us to the true path. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin.
کل جو ہے نا سوال جو ہے نظر آئے گا دا کوشچن آف دا فلٹرنگ آف دا سیکنس پیپل انڈرسٹینڈ ان ڈفرنٹ وے سو وی وانٹ ٹو کلیریفائی اسٹل وی ہیو ڈاؤٹ اباؤٹ دیٹ
آئی ہیو سیڈ نتھنگ ایکسپٹ دیٹ آئی کانٹ سے اینی تھنگ اباؤٹ دا سیکنس انلیس آئی سی دا ایکچوئل پروسیس آف فلٹرنگ دس از واٹ آئی سیڈ نتھنگ
بٹ people are interpreting in different ways, that's why you want to clarify.
If this is also interpreted in different ways, then had I uttered some other words?
Now when we are talking about there is a chicken is going on the machine and there is automatic knife and somebody is uttering.
No, I said nothing. I should make it clear once again that I have said nothing except that I can't say anything. I can't give any fatwa. Unless I see the procedure through my own eyes.
Not even the video?
No, nothing. Even video can do. But
we are trying to actually send yes? you to the place, but we talked to some brother and it was
yes.
So we can, impossible. So
yes.
Maybe we'll try to get a video, maybe we'll send the video to Pakistan if it's not possible.
Yes, 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 you can send it.
Okay.
Yes, yes.
For legality, we are sending it to Pakistan.
Please come forward.
When we open an account, or we buy any house, or we open a business, normally what the requirement is, husband and wife have a lien on the property or business, or the bank account. Suppose I open a bank account with me and my wife income. And if I die, the money goes right to my wife's name, according to our Lord and Savior. But according to our Sikha, you say there will be a book opening to you.
To the Islamic ways of distribution of inheritance.
Yes. What should we do about it?
Actually, if the account is actually owned by the husband, there is only the name of wife has been given only for convenience, then in that case, if the wife receives the money after the death of the husband, it becomes a trust in the hands of the wife. And the wife is under an obligation to distribute the money in accordance with the Islamic injections of inheritance.
But when I buy a house, my intention is for me and my wife. When I buy an office, my intention is for me and my wife.
Yes.
My intention right from the beginning is that this belongs to me and my wife. Yes. If I die, that probably belongs to me.
Actually, the property does not become come in the ownership of the wife by merely intending that the own shall be owned by me and my wife, unless I divide it and hand it over to my wife, it will not become the property of the wife. You know? So even if I intended right at the beginning that the wife shall be mine and my wife, it will be regarded the property of me only. And if I want that half of the house will be owned by my wife, then in that case I should divide the house and say that this part is of my wife. Or I write down a transfer deed to my wife that this house is owned by me, was owned by me, but half of the house has been given to my wife. I had given half of the house to my wife. If he did so in his lifetime and handed it over to the wife, then in that case it will remain the property of the wife only and shall not be distributed among the heirs. Otherwise it will be distributed according to the proportionate share of the heirs.
Even though one will announce to every relative that, you know, I am giving my property to this, to my wife.
I have given my half property to my wife. But it is a necessary condition according to Sharia. That after saying that I have given, he must transfer the possession to the wife. Because a gift cannot be effected unless the person acquires the possession. Without possession, the gift is not complete. So the possession should also be transferred to the wife. If the possession has been given to the wife, then the wife is the owner and the other heirs shall no right against us in that property.
Other way of doing is by writing a will also. Here they write the will.
Actually, the will cannot be in favor of the wife because wife is among the heirs, and no will can be effected in favor of the heir.
That's the same concept. If suppose I'm buying an insurance.
Buying?
Insurance.
Yes.
Life insurance.
Yes.
On the life insurance, we have to announce that who will be the financial beneficiary of that insurance. I'm writing my wife's name and my children's name on it. After I die, none comes to their name. It comes to the property of their or the property of my family.
Actually, the life insurance, the current life insurance, as it is practiced in several countries, it is based on the riba and tama. So the proceeds of the insurance are not allowed to be used for anybody. But the legal position is that the person nominated by the policyholder is only a nominee, and the nominee is regarded as a trust. And if he receives the money, he is obliged to distribute it among the heirs. So, if one has bought a life policy, then only the premium he has paid is allowed to receive from the company. So that amount shall be distributed among all the heirs, irrespective of the fact that the nominee is the wife only.
Same thing as the doctor, you know, this comes to everybody who is here. Just to protect ourselves, as a doctor, we buy money, not because we want to get a money, but our disability, our malpractice, our diet, our diabetes, and our health protection. Not because we want to have that person, because we want to protect ourselves.
Actually, insurance can be allowed subject to some certain conditions. There are some Islamic ways to establish an insurance company and to issue insurance for certain things. But unfortunately, the companies working in our day are working totally under the riba and tama. So all these forms of insurance are not allowed in Sharia up to now. But the Muslims, as I have said earlier, that the Muslims should can establish their own institutions, just as they are establishing banking institutions, and a large number of Islamic banks have been established throughout the world. Some insurance companies have also been established in certain other countries. But the overwhelming majority of the insurance companies are working on the basis of riba and tamar, so they are not allowed. Is home insurance allowed or workman's compulsory? But the only exception is that where insurance is a legal necessity. Yes. Then in that case, the insurance is allowed under the law of necessity. For example, you can't bring your car on your road unless you have an insurance. So that kind of insurance is allowed. Otherwise, for example, in the car, so far as I know, only the third party insurance is legally necessary. But the comprehensive insurance is not necessary. So the only third party insurance will be allowed. I don't know whether home insurance is necessary legally or not. So it is not allowed. Can salah be done in front of a glass door or window in which one can see another one side clearly? Yes, this is allowed. There is no bar against it. کوئی عورت بہت نمازی پرہیزگار ہے مگر دوسری عورت کا دل دکھاتی ہو یا پریشان کرتی ہو تو اس عورت کے بارے میں کیا ہوگا؟ یہ میں کل بھی کہہ چکا ہوں، کئی مرتبہ کہہ چکا ہوں کہ اسلام صرف نماز روزے کا نام نہیں ہے. کسی مسلمان کا دل دکھانا یا کسی کو تکلیف، مسلمان کیا کسی کافر کو بھی دل بلا وجہ دکھانا یا کسی کا پریشان کرنا، یہ سب حرام ہے، گناہ کبیرہ ہے. اتنا ہی بڑا گناہ ہے جتنا شراب پینا، جتنا خنزیر کھانا، بلکہ اس سے بھی زیادہ. اس لیے کہ شراب اور خنزیر کا میں آج کر چکا ہوں کہ توبہ کر لے آدمی تو معاف ہو جاتا ہے. کسی آدمی کا دل دکھائے تو صرف توبہ کرنے سے معاف نہیں ہوتا جب تک کہ وہ شخص معاف نہ کرے. اس لیے وہی سب وہی رہے. ایک حدیث میں ہے کہ رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم سے پوچھا گیا کہ ایک خاتون ہیں جو وہ نمازیں بہت پڑھتی ہیں, نفلیں بہت پڑھتی ہیں لیکن ساتھ غیبت بھی کرتی ہیں اور دوسروں کا دل بھی دکھاتی ہیں, اور ایک خاتون ہیں جو نفلیں زیادہ نہیں پڑھتی صرف فرائض پر اکتفا کرتی ہیں مگر کسی کی غیبت نہیں کرتی, کون سی بہتر ہے؟ تو آن حضرت صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم فرمایا کہ وہ عورت بہتر ہے جو فرائض پر اکتفا کرتی ہے چاہے نفلیں نہیں پڑھتی لیکن دوسروں کا دل بھی نہیں دکھاتی. بھائی بہن سے اور ماں بیٹے سے گلے عید وغیرہ پر ملے تو جائز ہے یا نہیں؟ یہ اچھا نہیں ہے. بھائی اگر سے محرم ہے لیکن محرم ہونے کا سے مانا یہ نہیں ہے کہ گلے ملے جائیں, لہٰذا یہ مناسب نہیں ہے کہ ایسا کیا جائے. اور عید کے اوپر جو گلے ملنا ہے وہ کوئی سنت نہیں ہے, کہ بعض لوگ سمجھتے ہیں کہ عید کا لازمی حصہ ہے کہ گلے ملے جائیں, تو یہ سنت نہیں ہے, اس کو سنت سمجھنا بھی بدعت ہے. یہ لکھا ہے کہ کیا ہم اپنے بچوں کو ڈزنی ورلڈ لے کر جا سکتے ہیں؟ تو اس کا جواب یہ ہے کہ اللہ تبارک و تعالیٰ نے ہمارے لیے بہت سی تفریحات کو جائز قرار دیا ہے, بہت سی کو ناجائز قرار دیا ہے. تو بلا کر خود تفریح بلا کر خود کوئی حرام نہیں ہے, لیکن یہ دیکھنا چاہیے کہ اس تفریح کے اندر کوئی حرام چیز یا گناہ کی چیز کو شامل نہیں ہوگی. تو اگر گناہ کی یا حرام چیز شامل ہو تو اس سے پرہیز کیا جائے, اور جو گناہ اور حرام کی چیز نہ ہو تو اس تفریح کو اختیار کرنے میں خود بھی کوئی حرج نہیں اور بچوں کو بھی کرانے میں کوئی حرج نہیں. البتہ یہ ہے کہ اس بات کا پہلے سے اندازہ کر لینا کہ کس جگہ جا کر حرام میں مبتلا ہو جائیں گے اور کس جگہ جا کر گناہ میں مبتلا ہوں گے, اس کا اندازہ کر لینا پہلے سے پتہ لگا لینا مناسب ہے, کیونکہ بعض اوقات آدمی غیر شعوری طور پر بھی کسی گناہ کے اندر مبتلا ہو جاتا ہے. تو مطلق طور سے نہیں کہا جا سکتا کہ وہاں پر جانا یا لے جانا حرام ہے, لیکن اصل بات یہ ہے کہ ان چیزوں کا معلوم کیا جائے کہ جو چیزیں حرام نہ جائیں ان سے پرہیز کرنے کی پوری کوشش کی جائے.
عورتوں میں کیوں نہیں کیا
تیار کردہ علمی کیسٹ گھر کیسٹ اور سی ڈی ملنے کا پتہ نو فرمال ہے. علمی کیسٹ گھر دکان نمبر 5 فاطمہ پلازا بالمقابل مدنی مسجد پڈلوی ایریا کراچی. فون نمبر 6378